As an encouragement, I want to remind you what the Gospel of Matthew says, chapter 4 and verse 3, before we get started. The tempter came to Jesus and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become cinnamon bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on cinnamon bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Let us pray. Lord God, there are so many distractions that would keep us from hearing you. And so we pray that we would put those, Lord Jesus, aside. Anything that would hinder us or keep us from hearing your gospel. Lord, may the sweet aroma of your word be all that we need this morning. Strengthen us by it. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord Christ. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We've been talking over the past 4 weeks about stewardship and how we serve God with our good works. We've been calling our good works that God has prepared for us in advance to do, as recorded in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the dreams that God has for us. And remember, when we were in Ephesians, each week we're being reminded then of these three realities. The first is that we are, each of us, God's handiwork. That means God has by hand created each and every one of us. And not only has he created us, but he has recreated us, or created us anew in Christ Jesus. Paul says that we are new creations. And having been created anew in Christ Jesus, God has done that purposefully, that we might then be dedicated to doing his good works. And that's what stewardship really is all about, doing the works that God has prepared for us to do in advance. Today we're going to talk about biblical stewardship. And now this crosses the line of all other ministries. We've talked about worship and spiritual transformation and Christian service. This is the area of ministry where we focus in on, quite deliberately and specifically, stewardship itself. But I want to ask you a question first. I have a little prop here with me. When you see this, what do you think of? This is not rhetorical. You can just tell me what you think of. I can't hear you. Bad ears. Star of Bethlehem, good. Right? It's pretty much Christmas. The shepherds, maybe, the angels. And you know what? You're right. This will be the Star of Bethlehem for our children's program. But let me encourage you, when you look at this, to not only think about Christmas, but also think about biblical stewardship. And now you're thinking, okay, Pastor, you lost it. Where are you going with this thing? Well, this is where I'm going. Roy Ballard, a new member, in fact, a part of the last batch of new members. His wife, Nancy, has been a member for many years, and Roy has finally taken that step of faith and growing in Christ Jesus. Well, he was at the Good News Media Ministry Arts and Crafts Fair, and he was selling these. And Jenny Page, our children's minister, said, "Wow, those are great, Roy. I could really use one for the Bethlehem scene and the kids, for the kids' Christmas program." And he said, "Okay, well, great." It was a couple days later that Roy comes walking into Jenny's office with this. He handmade it for her, making these little welds all over the iron, painted it, and said, "Here, this is for you." That's stewardship, friends. You know, oftentimes we say the word stewardship and we get a little nervous and there's an ache in our wallet. But stewardship is much more than that. Stewardship is taking the things that God has given us and giving them back to Him and His church for the sake of others. That's what Roy did with his gifts. He said, here is something that I can do, God has prepared for me to do. And you know what? This star will help proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who don't know it, who will be here for our Christmas program. That's what biblical stewardship is all about. We're going to spend a moment here in the scriptures. You may want to pull out your blue sheet. It's easier to follow along that way. Three things to remember when we're talking about biblical stewardship for any area of life, whether that means our finances or giving of our time. Our time might be the most limited and valuable resource that we have in society today. But that's giving is stewardship of that time. Giving our gifts and abilities, taking advantage of opportunities. But these three things, no matter what area of stewardship we're talking about, are true. The first is that God is the owner of all things. Now, we don't always understand or get or live this way. Have any of you seen that Disney Pixar movie, Finding Nemo? I guess they're coming out with the sequel to that, some kind of anniversary, 10, 15, I don't know, 20 years, who knows? Time kind of flies. But in Finding Nemo, there are these flock of seagulls that fly around. Have you seen this? They fly around and they see stuff, and what's their mantra? What do they say? You know, mine, 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 mine. And we laugh and think that's funny, but unfortunately, that's kind of the American way. It's funny because it's true. We fly around like those seagulls, pointing at our house or our car or even our kids, and we say, mine, mine, mine. But guess what? They aren't. The reality is that all things are God's. And in 1 Chronicles 29, as we heard read for us, we're reminded, the author says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? And hear this truth. Everything comes from you, you Lord God. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. Whatever we get is from God, and whatever we give back is already God's. And this is a really hard concept to understand, especially when it comes to things like people. I think of my boys, and I say it all the time. Oh, have you met my boys? Or my boys and I are going fishing or hunting or doing... I say my boys all the time, but the reality is they're not my boys. They're on lease to me, but they're God's. My sons are God's. They're not mine. And what a gift that they are. He has called them. He, I believe, has chosen them. And he says to me and he says to Jeanette, here you go. You get to borrow these. Be good stewards over them. What does that mean? It means take care of them. A steward is someone who manages the resources of another. And so we're managing God's resources in Ezekiel and Nathan. And in some ways, we're doing a great job. And in other ways, I know I'm totally messing them up. But that's the life of a parent. I tell my boys, you know, I'm not doing anything to you that a lot of good counseling won't fix. If we're being honest, that's true, right? And so I see my boys as God's, not my own. And that's with all things. Everything God has given us is His already. And it is a gift to give back. Who are we and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Number two, when we're thinking about biblical stewardship, God invites us to work with Him in service to others. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are, says Paul to the church at Corinth, co-workers in God's service. Two things here I want to unfold. First is, if we're going to be co-workers in God's service, we need to be living by the Spirit and not by the world. That's what Paul says in the rest of this text. Verse 1a, the very beginning of this text, as was read for us. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. Unfortunately, what's happening in this church at Corinth, after Paul has started it and now been writing to them, he should see more maturity in them, but they haven't gotten there yet. They're still living as part of the world. The world still, if you will, has a grasp on them and is pulling them in their direction. And Jesus reminds us in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, that no one can serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other, he says. And so we can't be in the world and in the Holy Spirit at the same time. They are mutually exclusive. And Jesus says, you must serve God. Live in the world of the Spirit. Paul says, live in the world of the Spirit. And number two here, if we're going to be invited and effective in partnering with God, we need to be likely, in a like way, mature in faith. Paul says at the end of verse 1 here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, you are mere infants in Christ. Why? Because they're still worldly. Paul says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you still are not ready. He's saying to them, you should be eating solid food, but you're still immature in faith. And so when God invites us, we have to keep two things then in mind. First is, we have to live in the Spirit and by the power of the Holy Spirit and put off the world. And secondly, be mature in our faith. Eat whole foods. What is the food of God? I just read it for us. Oh, by the way, I added the word cinnamon to bread. You noticed that, right? That's not actually in the Scriptures. We would say, I added that emphasis. But this is the bread of life that Jesus is talking about. It's the Word of God. This is the spiritual food that we should be ingesting and just wolfing down. And yet, Paul says to the church at Corinth, you're only drinking the milk of the Scriptures. Go deep, says Jesus. And so when we're reminded of biblical stewardship, we're reminded that God is the owner of all things, that God invites us to work with Him. And then lastly, and I think perhaps most surprisingly, is that God trusts the faithful and obedient steward. Focus on faithful and obedient there as I talk about this text. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, Jesus says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. This is an astounding idea. Sometimes hard to get our minds around. Oftentimes we don't even think about it. But did you know that the God of the universe trusts you with His stuff? That's amazing. I mean, when you think about that, that's why the writer of Chronicles says, but who am I and who are my people? Who are we that we should be able to give as generously as this? I don't know about you, but I'm pretty self-aware, and I think, God, I don't deserve this. That you gave me two of your children, Ezekiel and Nathan, to steward, to manage. I want to say to God, and often I do, are you crazy? Because I'm not worthy of this. And yet God says, no, Steve, I want you to steward. I want you to manage. I want you to look out for them. I want you to steward. I want you to manage my people. I want you to steward. I want you to manage my money, my resources, my time, my opportunities for you. I spend time on Facebook because that's the best way to get to know you. Strange but true. I was just telling Jim and Sue as they walked into church, thanks for taking me on your trip to the South. I really enjoyed that, all their Facebook posts, where they were eating, what they were seeing. There was a friend of mine from high school that posted on Facebook. He had just read an article about a so-called Christian pastor in Arizona who said that the deaths in Paris at the death metal concert was because people were disobedient to God by listening to death metal. The exact quote was, if you go to a death metal concert, there will be death. What? That's crazy. But you see, he's not a Christian. He's a professing atheist. And this is how he's informed and influenced about Christianity. And I rarely write stuff on Facebook, but I wrote to him and I said, please, 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 do not be informed or influenced about Christians from this nut. The guy's crazy. In fact, those were the words he used. And yet God says to us, as we have opportunity, sometimes we're prompted to respond. And I said to this friend from high school that God wants us to be faithful and obedient in following him. You see, sometimes we don't take advantage. Sometimes we can't be trusted. Sometimes when God calls us, we turn the other way. Sometimes we say, I'm not up for it, Lord. Sometimes we say, well, you know, I don't feel secure enough, so I won't give to you from my finances. Sometimes we feel in life that we just don't have time for God. But what Jesus is saying is that the God of the universe, if you are faithful and if you are obedient in little, he will continue to give you more to be faithful and obedient stewards. The key here, by the way, is faithful and obedient. That's why I wanted you to think about those things. It's not perfect. There's a huge difference. In God's kingdom, we are encouraged to be stewards, faithful and obedient, to the best of our ability and with God's help, but not perfect. So these are the things we remember, right? When it comes to biblical stewardship. That God is owner of all things. We got to stop flying around and go, mine, 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 mine. No, God's, 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 God's. God invites us to work with him for living in the Spirit and maturing with solid food. And lastly, most surprisingly, God trusts us if we are faithful and obedient to him. We're going to dream a little with God as we've done the last few weeks, so take a moment and pull out your blue slip. We're almost done here. Think for a moment. You may want to write your answers down or just mull them over in your head. What good works are you already doing in life to practice biblical stewardship? Maybe you volunteer your time for work at the church or outside of the church to help others. Many of you, I see you over at the hospital or Catholic in your volunteer outfits. You look good in those, by the way. Helping people go to and fro, making sure pastors don't get lost in the vast halls. Maybe you have a habit of tithing and giving already to God his 10%. So dream a little with God and think about, I'll give you a moment to think about, what you're already doing to practice biblical stewardship. Secondly here, consider what good works do you think God might have for you to do to practice biblical stewardship more fully. I can take advantage of opportunities to serve the needy. I can give to the food pantry. And you have a lot of ideas, and I trust God will stir those up. Just think about what God might be calling you to do further. Now think a little bit more broadly, a little bit more communally. As God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus, what good work has God prepared in advance for you to do to help others practice biblical stewardship? For instance, I can invite a friend to serve Jesus with me. Maybe you're one of those who goes at the last Sunday of the month over to Union Gospel Mission. And you sit by someone at church and you just say, hey, I'm going to the Union Gospel Mission this week. You want to go with me? Or maybe you can encourage your kids to be involved in missions work, and God will inform you on these things. So just take a moment to think about what God has prepared in advance for you to help others in the area of biblical stewardship. Feel free to take this top half of the blue sheet with you to consider this more deliberately and fully this week. But then lastly, on the bottom, you can tear this off for us. And by the way, we've gotten some really great thoughts and ideas throughout this sermon series about what we can do better in our areas of ministry. But think for a moment about biblical stewardship ministry here at Richland Lutheran. And what would you do that we're not already doing to assure we are being spiritually transformed? A couple ideas there. I would set up online and mobile giving opportunities. I would communicate more about what the Bible says about stewardship. So just take a moment and write those down for us to help your church, Richland Lutheran, to do this better, how God is leading you. So just take a moment as we consider this, and then we'll close in prayer. Roy Ballard offered this up to God for the sake of the gospel, for making the name of Jesus known, and for advancing the kingdom. What, my friends, is God calling you to give? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that you have decided to entrust us with those things that are yours. For all things are yours, Lord God. We pray that you would help us to be faithful stewards of the gifts of grace that you have bestowed on us. And most importantly, we pray, Lord God, not by our might, but by yours. Not by our power, but by yours. Not by our effort, but with your help. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.